place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Sing it to Him, church. Oh, Thou art welcome in this place. Let's stand and sing it. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome. This morning. Hallelujah. Well, isn't it good to be back in the house of God today? How many of you enjoyed service here last night? Brother David, you blessed our heart here last night, buddy. I believe that's the best I ever heard him do. Just wonderful. Appreciate that. Amen. No, we're looking forward to the service today. Brother Darrell's going to be speaking, and well, the Lord just uses our brothers in a wonderful way, and I just appreciate how they yield their self to the Holy Ghost and just preach the gospel. We got some tremendous, wonderful brothers in this assembly right here that preach the word of the Lord, and a wonderful pastor. Right? Amen. We certainly do. Let's look at our prayer request this morning, if you will. Brother Dow wants us to remember his aunt, Cleta Yance, who has a cancerous tumor, very large. She's bedridden. She is to have surgery on Wednesday to have it removed. The doctor said that she quite possibly may not make it through this surgery. It's very severe. So they're just asking that we would remember that prayer request this morning. Also want to remember Sister Donna, sick in body, needs a touch from the Lord this morning. Unspoken prayer request for a lady and her son, that God will intervene for several problems. We just commit that unto the Lord. An unspoken prayer request for Brittany and her baby. That's Brother Randy Walton's daughter. So let's remember that request this morning. And then Sister Barron sends us in to please pray for a Mr. Duggar, 80 years old, and he's on life support at the VA hospital. So let's pray for that need also this morning. I believe Sister Natalie and maybe her mother is going to be leaving today, going to Zion, Illinois for more treatment. So we certainly want to pray for her, that family, that the Lord would just be with them. You have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about today? We're just committed unto the Lord. Let's sing that chorus together one more time. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. How many of you feel like you brought Him with you this morning? How many of you, if you didn't, you really want Him to have the preeminence in this place right here? That's where we really want Him, is in this place. If He's in this place, then He'll be in this place, right?
Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, oh, Thou art welcome in this place. Oh, Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, Thou art welcome in this place.
Amen. Brother Bill Blair, would you come this morning? Let's invite the presence of the Lord into this service today and ask the Lord to have His perfect divine will in all these requests this morning. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you. See you.
Praise the Lord. How are you this morning? It's not that I would normally say this, but it's happened 5 times in my married life, 35 years. Today is my birthday and Father's Day. So it's kind of a double whammy for me. And I think at this point in my life, I just want to be a really happy person. I know that Nancy Reagan said that Ronald Reagan was probably the person who was the most comfortable in his own skin of anybody she'd ever met. And I thought, wow, you know, if I can get enough of God in me, then I can be as comfortable in my skin as anybody in the world could be. So just mention again right quick before we pray. I talked to my brother-in-law yesterday. Ronnie lost his mother yesterday morning. Ronnie's just my dearest friend in the world, and I just would like us to also remember him again this morning. And as we go to the Lord in prayer, let's just believe that God answers. Does that work? Yeah. Lord, thank You. It's beyond an honor to stand in Your presence. And Lord, perhaps if we realized how truly great You are and how much access we have to You, it would affect the way that we approach You. And then, Lord, when we realize how we're not just servants, we're not just part of the family, we're Your bride. What a change that would put in us, Lord. How we would come with love and respect, but not fear. How we would come with confidence, Lord. How we would come with joy in our hearts. And when we look to You, it would be through eyes of love, Lord, asking that You grant the needs that we have, and being very faithful and careful to give You all the praise and honor and glory, and enjoying the relationship that You have made available to us. Lord, when I think of how great You are and what You do and have done for us, what Your grace actually means to the bride of Jesus Christ, I know that if we understood grace in its full capacity, we would be totally changed individuals, Lord. The power of grace is beyond our human comprehension. So, Lord, I ask You to open up this morning for us the hearts that You've placed within us, to make us more able to receive the glorious things that You want to deliver to us today, Lord, so that we are recipients of this glory, of this truth, of this blessing, Lord, so that we are partakers of the love that You've called us to be part of, Lord. Help us to be that which You've called us to be, Lord, but help us to do it in a positive way, to realize You're wanting us to succeed. We're not under the frown of the serpent. We're not under Your scorn, Lord. We're under the God who's calling us forward to be all that You've called us to be. We're the people that You've set the vision out before us and said, here's the vision. Walk into it. Be what I have created you to be. Oh, God, this morning, I believe if we could realize that, our lives would change faster than we've ever experienced before. Lord, on all of these needs this morning, we know that there is not a single thing that is even slightly difficult for You, Lord. And sometimes it's our humanity that causes us to stop and worry and fear. But Lord, we know you're greater than all of those things. You're greater than our fears and greater than our problems and greater than the situations that we face. And we know that no matter what comes our way, we believe the scripture that the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. And that's where we stand. And that's where we place our faith this morning. So Lord, in you is our confidence. In you is our love. In you is our trust. And we just ask you, Lord, from the depths of our heart, have your way, have your preference, and may you enjoy the service this morning that you've designed for us. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering. If you're visiting with us today in the service, we certainly want to welcome all of you. Glad you're here. Those that are streaming, may God richly bless those folks as well. Let's sing a song this morning, 10,000 years. We'll just be getting started. You believe that with all your heart? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, I'm awake. Somebody say, I woke up this morning. And I'm awake right now. And we're going to have church. Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise. You love him with all your heart. Amen. You think I'm funny, you ought to look at yourself. Let's sing it, buddy. No.
Soon I'll come to the end of life's journey, and I'll meet the one who gave his life for me. I want to thank him for the love that he gave me. And 10,000 years and more, I'll praise
his name. Now let's sing with everything you got. 10,000 years will just be started. 10,000 years we just begun, and the battles are over.
Cannot sing. I've been redeemed by the blood of my precious Savior.
We have been redeemed.
And 10,000 years and more, I'll reign with him.
10,000 years
will just be started.
Just begun.
Oh, we will just begin to sing love's sweet story.
Oh, that's right, Brother Harry. Say it, buddy.
It is a song that holy angels cannot sing. I've been redeemed by the blood of my precious Savior.
Thank you, Lord.
And 10,000 years and more, His bride will reign with Him.
Sing a little bit of that chorus. Thank you, Jesus. You brought me a long, long way. Let's sing a little bit of that this morning. Thank you, Jesus, because you brought us such a mighty long way. Just so many wonderful things Brother David said in his message last night. But you know, God sees this service from a long time back. And He knows who's here, and He knows what you're going to do while you're here. There's a book of remembrance. I want Him to remember real good things about me, don't you? Praise the Lord. Let's sing it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, you brought me. Yes, you brought me a mighty long way. Mighty long way. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, you brought me. Yes, you brought me a mighty long way. Well, I thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
You brought me.
I know you brought me.
Oh, you brought me.
Brought me, Lord.
Mighty long way.
Oh, mighty long way.
Oh, I thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Lord. Brought me.
I know.
Oh, you brought me.
Oh, mighty
long way.
You've been my mother. You've been my father.
Yes, you have.
You've been my sister. My brother, too. Oh,
you brought me.
Oh,
you brought me.
Been my sister, my brother too.
Oh, say it to him, church.
Thank you, Lord.
You brought me.
Oh,
you brought me.
Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Thank you for your contribution. You're singing so good. Just don't know what to do with you. You're just singing so good. We appreciate you very much. Have a couple of songs this morning. Brother Dave, if you'd come, give us a song. I want Brother Joel Yance, Brother Chuck, and Brother Harry to sing just before we change the order of the service. Your song. Amen. Through the fire. I want you to sing that for us. Brother David, you'd come, give us a song. We appreciate our singers, don't we? How many of you love Brother David Swanson? Amen.
The cross upon which Jesus died.
Is that G? No, that's G.
The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide. And its grace so free is sufficient for me. And deep is its fountain, as wide as the sea. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have found him a friend and have turned from the sins they have sinned, the Savior still waits to open the gates and welcome a sinner before it's too late. There's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, the hand of my Savior is strong, and the love of my Savior is long. Through sunshine or rain, through loss or in gain, the blood flows from Calvary, oh, to cleanse every stain. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, oh, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you.
Somebody's trying to tell me something.
So many times I've questioned certain circumstances or things I could not understand. Many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision and my frustration gets so out of hand. But it's then I am reminded that I've never been forsaken. I've never had to stand one test alone. And as I look at all the victories, God's Spirit rises up in me. And it's through the fire my weaknesses made strong. Never promised that the cross would not be heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered pictures without fighting. He said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and He will take you through the fire again.
I know within myself that I was sure. But if I trust the hand of God, He'll seal the flames again, again.
He never promised that the cross would not be heavy, that the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but He said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up.
But if I trust the hand of God, He'll seal the flames again, again.
He never promised that the cross would not be heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but He said help would always come right on time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, when the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up.
So just hold on, our Lord will show up,
and He will take you through the fire again.
You can be seated this morning. Isn't it a privilege to be gathered together again today? We ate here so good Wednesday night. Presence of the Lord and the Word was just so good. We ate again so good last night. Isn't it amazing how we are? Human beings, I got up yesterday and for breakfast I ate a little bit of cantaloupe, a little bit of nuts and seeds and granola type stuff. This morning I was out early and about 6:30 I went by McDonald's and went through their drive-thru and got some oatmeal, blueberry oatmeal with cinnamon and a little bit of sugar. Oh, isn't that amazing? Why didn't yesterday's breakfast tide me over till today? Why do I need to eat over and over again? And then people wonder why they need to go to church. Sometimes I'm not sure three times is even enough. A week, I mean. So we're certainly happy to be gathered today at the table of our Father, knowing that He and His divine culinary artistry has something special prepared for us. But before we do, we've got a couple of babies that we'd like to dedicate today. Brother Jonathan and Sister Jessica Benton have a new addition. And I'm going to dedicate it to the Lord. And Brother Darrell, Brother Larry, his wife has asked that Brother Darrell would dedicate their little baby to the Lord. So we've got a couple of babies that we'll dedicate to the Lord today. And then we'll go on into the Word. So if Brother Jonathan and Sister Jessica would bring theirs and we'll offer it to the Lord. And then we'll just, so you just sit there and just, just think about that good word that's fixing to come forth. And amen. God bless you.
Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in. Bring.
Your hand be upon them, Lord, upon the family. May you feel, dear God, May they feel your love and praise over the homes. May they lead them and guide them toward in this evil, dark age. May they prepare this little child, Lord, for that transition from this world to that heavenly home, we pray, Lord. May you lead them and guide them, dear God. May you give them comfort and strength and patience, Lord. When the little thing cries and the power, Lord, just give them patience for it. And as it starts to grow, may they sit it upon their knee. Talk about you, Lord, and your goodness and your love and how you sit. Lord, it's the blood that cleanses of our sins, Lord. Oh, Father, I pray may it can be upon this family, Lord. We gather there that day. The battles are closed for the last time. The rivals are all scattered. War's over, Lord. And we look across the table to see the other family there, Lord. All gathered safely in back to Daddy's house. Pray, Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name, possess this little child's life.
Can we stand this morning? Praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian?
Amen.
Amen. Well, you know, it don't fit. Amen. Well, you know, Wednesday night we wrestled all service over that earphone thing. So I had two choices. One, either cement it to my head or wear a lapel. So I've got a lapel this morning. So we got that dealt with. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to this morning to the book of Hebrews. We want to read there from Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 and 6. We greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. We count it an honor to be able to gather here with you once again. And my, didn't we certainly feed on the Word of God last night? Wasn't that wonderful? And to hear some of those things, you know, it's just the hour we're living in, friends, that God's wanting us to know who we are. Amen. And now remember, you'll never have the right kind of faith until positionally you know who you are in the Word. Amen. So then we know, and I believe that God wants us to understand who we are. And I think He wants us to know the privileges and the blessings that's been given to us as His children. Amen. What a wonderful thing it is here together this morning, Father's Day, you know, and if your father's still with you, and just take time to honor him today and appreciate him. And, you know, my father, we're going to go see him in a little bit, but my daddy don't know who I am. And he's got Alzheimer's and he's in a home, and so we're going to go up there and spend a little bit of time with him, but he won't know who we are. So if your daddy's in his right mind today and you can tell him that you love him, take time to tell him that you love him, amen. And not only our earthly father, but let's take time today to tell our heavenly father that we love him. Amen. You know, God don't want a Hallmark card, or that's not what he wants from you today, but he does want your heart. Amen. So let's read now from Hebrews chapter 11, and we want to start reading at verse 5, and may God bless you. Amen. The Bible says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, amen, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. Let's bow our heads. I want to speak to you this morning on possessing the faith of Enoch. Possessing the faith of Enoch. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just count it an honor to gather here in your presence, Lord. How our hearts has been stirred, Lord, by the ministering of your word last night, Lord. Got up early this morning and thinking about the things that were said, Lord.
How we just raised our hands to you, God, and gave you worship and praise that you, Lord, would come to someone such as I, Lord, and reveal such great things to us, Lord. And God, it makes us want to love you more. It makes us want to serve you more, dear God. It makes us want to lay aside every weight, Lord, and every sin that so easily besets us and pressed to the mark of a high calling. Lord, I pray as we have gathered here this Father's Day, Lord, may you come down, Father, among us, Lord, and have received our worship and our praise today. May you come, Lord God, in the reality of your resurrection and the power that's been given to believers and heal our sick, Lord, and encourage the discouraged, Lord, and pour out a great blessing that our hearts, Lord, would burn within us as we leave the building today. Lord, may we just now lay aside our faults, Lord, and our symptoms and our pain and our weakness. May we just lay all that aside now and sit down at your table at this Father's Day, Lord, and spend time with Father. May you come, Lord, and fellowship with us today around your word. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And the bride says, amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated this morning. Now, I want you to listen to this quote, and we want to bounce off just a few things, and we'll try just to be as quick as we can this morning, and but we just trust it'll be a blessing to you on this thought of possessing the faith of Abraham. Now, it does no good to sit and just say, well, you know, that was a good service, and by my, he sweated or he jumped or whatever, but you know, that don't really do us no good unless we take what we heard and apply it to our lives. Amen. And you know, and we ought to be mature enough that it doesn't, well, you know, if that's Brother David or that's Brother Darrell, but we ought to be mature enough to know that no matter who stands behind the pulpit, if they are an anointed man of God, God has anointed them to feed us this morning. Amen. We may have had steak last night. It may be granola bar this morning, but if it comes from Daddy, it's good. Amen. So listen to this quote here, what the prophet of God says in the invisible union of the bride of Christ. Said, if you're married to Christ, and Christ is the Word of God. In St. John, the first chapter said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was made flesh and dwelt among us. Christ was the living Word. He always was the Word. He is still the Word. He will always be the Word. He is only the manifestation of the attributes of God, for He was a Son of God. He was a Son of God, therefore He was only the manifestation of the attributes of God. So Jesus, as a Son of God, manifested the attributes of God. Right? Then if Jesus is a Son of God, then if I am a Son of God, will not I also manifest the attributes of my Father? Huh? Why would one Son of God manifest the attributes and another Son of God who is a joint heir, why would he not manifest? Well, when I brother down, brother Jesus, well, I know Jesus. I know I'm not Jesus. I am not Jesus, but I am a Messiah. Hallelujah. Huh? He's only manifesting the attributes of God, for he was a Son of God. Then what does a Son of God do in the hour that he's living in? He manifests the attributes of God that's been given for that hour. Huh? Any son is the attribute of his father. Just as you were in the genes of your father, in the body of your father, when you was a young boy, you were in him. Yet he could not have fellowship with you because he didn't know you. But then through the bedding ground of a mother, you were brought forth into the earth and become in the image of your father. Then he could fellowship with you. And so were you sons of God and daughters of God before there was even a moon, stars, or molecule. You were sons and daughters of God, for you are only the physical manifestation of the attributes that was in God at the beginning. Hallelujah. For there is only one form of eternal life, and that was you. Amen. You don't know about it, neither did you know it when you was in your earthly father. But you are manifested too in his image. In the image of God are you made. And you were manifested for the glory and the fellowship of God. You were manifested. You were made known for the glory and the fellowship of God. You're the manifestation of the gene of life that was in God as a son of God. I am manifesting that gene life of God that manifests the Son of God. A pine tree is manifesting the gene life of God that is an expression of the pine tree. God made a pine tree to blow in the wind. God made a rose to give a fragrance. But God made me for fellowship. Hallelujah. God made me for fellowship because fellowship is two fellows in the same ship. So God would make an expression of himself. Amen. God would make an expression of himself that through that expression, he may have a kind after his kind. Amen. 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 Wow, what a Father's Day card. Now listen in the message rapture. Brother Ben says, we find here that Enoch was the seventh from Adam. Of course, Brother Ben actually said Noah, but he meant Adam. Amen. Now Enoch was the seventh from Adam, which was the type of the church ages. Now all the rest of the six men before him died. But Enoch was translated. Enoch was raptured. The seventh, showing that it's the seventh church age that takes the rapture. Now there's no doubt we are in the seventh church age now. We all know it. And the church said, we all know it. Now it's the seventh church age that takes the rapture. All other six died, but Enoch was translated because he was not found. God took him. But Enoch raptured was a type of all the rest of them dying. But the end time bride will be called out of the rapturing without death will be called out of the seventh church age. Do you understand this morning that God has given you and I the privilege of being a people that lives upon the earth that does not have to die? All other six church ages is as much a part of the bride as we are. But God chose us by election in this hour that we would be a people that would not see death. God have mercy. We are called out of the seventh church age, which we are now bearing record of that age. We are now bearing record of that age. So the first question that comes to my mind is why? Why the seventh church age? Why not the first age? Why not the third age? Well, Brother Darrell, they're as much a part of the bride as we are. Why? Why not the first age? When Brother Brandon said the church was birthed at Pentecost, he had a church perfected. Huh? There would not a perfect church take a perfect rapture. He had a church perfected. But why didn't that first age go? There has to come something to this age that the others did not have. Did they have the word? Yes, sir, for their day. But yet there is something that God has reserved to this hour that he kept it in his mind, in the back part of his mind. But we're living in the hour that God said, I will now share my knowledge. I will now share what I have kept within myself thousands of years. I am now going to share it with these people. When my children was little, I'm not too smart, but when my children was little, there was things I knew, but I didn't share with them because they were too little to understand. But as they grow up, as they get mature, that they can understand my thoughts, then I can begin to express to them things that I had previously hidden. Huh?
something comes to this age that the other six ages didn't have. Now in Hebrews chapter 11, it's known as the heroes of faith. But in this chapter, we find some insight to the rapture. Now that's what we're all striving for this morning. Oh God, I know I want it more now than I've ever wanted it. In Hebrews 11 chapter 40, chapter 11 verse 40, the Bible says this, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Did you hear what the Bible said? God have provided. God hath provided. What comes to us does not come from man. It comes from God. God provided this for us. God, Brother Larry. God done this for us, Brother David. In this hour when we would need it the most, God hath provided. God hath provided this for us. Not man. Then how, friends? How can they copyright something that don't belong to the man? How? How can they? If I prove to you it comes from God, will you amen it? Look into the unseen, 1959. Brother Branham was singing. Come to tell him, what was the name of the song? I'm trying to think of the name of it. I will praise you. I will praise him. And Brother Branham was singing. And Brother Branham said, is he pulsating to you? I'm the Lord that raised up Christ from the grave. I'm the one that sent the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. I'm the one that gave the promise. Brother Branham has nothing to do in this. He has surrendered his spirit to me. I'm using his spirit. I'm talking through his lips. That's me. I'm the Lord. I'm the Lord. Brother Branham has nothing to do in this. He surrendered his spirit to me. I'm speaking through his lips. And the same God that spoke through the lips of the prophet is now speaking through the fivefold ministry. Amen. The same God. It's not Brother Donnie's message. It's not Brother David's message. It's not Brother Darrell's message. It's not Brother Benham's message. It came from God. That they, without us, should not be made perfect. Now that perfect doesn't mean without mistakes. Because God knows I've made my share of them. You mean before you got saved? No, I mean this week. Just like you. Amen. It doesn't mean without mistakes. This body is a pest house. My greatest enemy is not you, nor my wife. Nor my children. My greatest enemy is myself. This is the old fellow that gets down. This is the old fellow that tries to tell me, I'll never need no better. God don't love me. God, it's this fella. As long as I'm yoked to this dead man, I'll have to drag him around so I can get free of him. But the word means perfect according to Matthew 5:48, where it says, be ye therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. That word perfect means full development. A consummation. Finished growth into maturity of godliness. Be ye therefore perfect. He's saying, be ye therefore consummated. Be ye therefore fully grown, mature. Ripe, ready for harvest. Amen. It means the full development. A consummation. Like Shamgar that we looked at Wednesday night. Every year they robbed him. Because maybe he did not have a full understanding of exactly who he was or what he was or the promise that was to him. And year after year they come to rob him and year after year he took it. But this time at harvest time, there was another seed came to maturity. And the serve guard began to realize, this is who I am. I am the seed of Abraham. That's who I am. And friends, the word has come. God sent Elijah not to tell us who Elijah was, but he sent Elijah to tell us who we are. When Shamgar came to a perfect realization of who he was, I am the seed of Abraham. And God told my daddy, his seed shall possess the gates of his enemy. Amen. And when he stood on what the word said, and not his emotions. You can tell when somebody's up and when they're down. When they're up, they'll scream amen and shout. And when they're down. But we ought to be beyond that. We ought to be beyond that. We ought to be able, when I'm down, when I'm in my lowest point, I should still be able to raise my head. That's when it is a sacrifice. I am a priest to offer sacrifice to my daddy. Amen. And he became to a perfect realization of what the word said he was. And he stood upon the promise of that word. He stopped the thief. Amen. So the six previous ages are completed or perfected by the seventh age. Well, the Bible said that without us, they cannot be consummated or made perfect. Without us, they cannot be made perfect. Now, God reveals himself in numbers. Three, Brother Benham said. It's the number of God. He also said it's the number of life. He also said it's the number of life. He also said it's the number of perfection. He said three, it's the number of life. It's the number of light. It's the number of God. It's the number of perfection. Five is the number of grace. Seven is the number of completion. The seventh age denotes a finality or a consummation. That's why Jesus in Revelation 3 said, write these things, saith the Amen. Notice, read it sometime. The last verse in Matthew, the last verse in Mark, the last verse in Luke, the last verse in John. Every one of them ends in an amen because it is a record of Jesus' ministry, his earthly ministry. But the book of Acts, it does not end in an amen. Hallelujah. Because the book of Acts ends today. That's why Jesus in Revelations in the Laodicea age, he says amen. Amen. It denotes a finality, a consummation of the seven church ages. When the seventh age ends, God will never call another Gentile. Because the seven church ages is Christ dealing with his church or the bride. Amen. See, we see it in nature. Now that wheat farmer, he goes out there. He has a vision of what he wants. And he's got some mature seed. He's got some perfect seed. It's not hybrid. It's not man-made. It's not crossed over. It's original seed. Because he wants original wheat. So he takes that seed. Now laying in that seed is its ability to reproduce itself. So he takes that seed and he lays it in the ground. With some water. Just a little revival. And he covers it over. Now he must wait in love. He can't go out there the next day, Amos, and dig it up and see if it's growing. If he does that, he will never have wheat. So he has to lay it in the ground, cover it over, and then he waits in love. Because he's got a vision. He's got a vision and he waits for the vision to manifest. What he was thinking, that he keeps saying, I want a wheat crop, and he thinks wheat crop. And one day that thought is manifested on the earth. And what he had in his mind is now material on the earth. Amen. He can have fellowship with it. Oh God. He breaks the ground. He plants it. No harvest. The shoot comes up. Well, it looks like we're going to have a pretty good crop this year. Looks good. Everybody's in church. Everybody's in the row. Nobody's home streaming. Looks good. But he don't go out there and harvest. And it won't sprouts. Huh? He must wait. Huh? The shoots come up, no harvest. The stalk comes up. Looks more like wheat all the time. No harvest. Because he don't want stalk. He don't want sprouts. So he waits. He waits. Then comes the shuck. The shuck looks just like the grain. But still, no harvest. Because he doesn't want shucks. Because when you get shucks, it's just, oh shucks. There's no life in it. There's no life in it. Oh, it can rattle. It can rattle when the wind moves. When the spirit moves, it can sure rattle. But he must wait till the shuck pulls back. When the seed, notice, when the seed, when the growth cycle of that seed, now that cycle of the seed is predetermined by the genetic makeups of that seed. And when the genetic makeups of the seed, the life germ that's in it, runs its full cycle according to God's will. He looks out there one day and he's got seed. He's got seed. Then he can harvest. Why? Because the grain has reached a level of maturity that it can reproduce itself. And the church reaches perfection when it can reproduce Jesus Christ again. Shuck can't do that. It can't do that. But seed can. The church comes to maturity when it can reproduce itself. Amen. Amen. Enoch was a type of the seventh age. But what did Enoch have that produced a rapture in his life? He had to have something that the other six before him lacked. Because they died. But Enoch got a hold of something that changed him. Huh? Amen. He was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God took him. But before he was translated, he had this testimony that he pleased the Lord. He pleased God. How did he please him? The Bible tells us in verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So that Enoch possessed the faith that pleased God. Huh? Now, Brother Branham made an astounding thing in the message, Perfect Faith. Brother Branham said, Jesus had faith. Then Brother Branham said, faith in what? What did he have faith in? Because faith has to have a foundation. Jesus had faith in what? Then Brother Branham answers it. He had faith in what he was. God's son. See? He had faith in what the word said he was. That's why he said, it is written of me. Then Brother Branham went on to say, now the only thing you have to do is have faith. Faith in what? Faith in what the word says you are. Jesus had faith in what the word said he was. Now Brother Ben said, all you've got to do is have faith in what the word says I am. Then somewhere in the pages of this Bible, it tells who I am. But I can stand and say, it is written of me. You know why I don't call you out and tell you what your name was and what you had for breakfast? Because that's not written of me. But you know why I rapture? Because it's written of me. I'm only manifesting. Don't you understand? We use, if we can just work it up, if we can just pump it up, if the brothers can beat the drums enough, if Brother Harry can play the organ enough, and we can get it worked. That's not what it is. That's not what it is. We don't have to pump it up, work it up, push it up, play it up. We just be what we are. We are sons of God, and this is what sons of God do. They lay hands on the sick, they recover, they prophesy, they speak in tongues, they see visions, they rapture. That's what God's children do. How did he please God? It was his faith. It was his faith. And we see that the seventh church age takes the rapture because God provides for that age rapturing faith. Rebbe said if you want to pray for the sick, you take a text and you preach divine healing and you create an atmosphere to pray for the sick. If you want to preach salvation, if you want altar call, bring sinners to repentance, you take a text, you preach on repentance and create an atmosphere that the sinner can feel the presence of God and they will come to the altar and repent. Then if we want to take a rapture, a body change without seeing death, there would have to come a message that would create an atmosphere that would make us believe that is possible for me. Amen. Don't you see? Not just possible for the bride, but it must become a personal revelation that that is possible for me. Amen. Because Brother Branham said faith is a revelation. What is faith? It's something that's revealed to you. It's something that's revealed to you. It's not yet, but you believe it will be. Amen. I'll never forget when Jessica was hurt and they wouldn't take her surgery that morning. We were trying to go to the funeral and bury Brother Homer and Brother Rachel. They said they thought Jessica swallowed chewing gum and caused her lung to collapse. They wanted to take her to surgery. I said, can it wait? I've got to go bury my family. They said, no, Mr. Ward, we got to go right now. So I signed a permission slip for them to take her to surgery. And I go out and I... We didn't have cell phones in them days. And I got a pay phone. Imagine that. And I called my brother Dwayne. I said, Dwayne, they're wanting to take Jessica to surgery. I gotta go to the funeral. I said, I don't want her to be down there by herself. I said, I know you want to go to the funeral, but would you just please come and sit with her? He said, I'll be right there. I'll be more than glad to do it. And I turned to a window. I said, Father, Jessica's hurt real bad. She's hurt more than I can do anything about. There's nothing I can do to help her. You're talking about feeling useless. I realize, Brother Horry, that was, you've been there. Well, there is nothing you can do. And I said, Father, I give her to you. Whatever you do, you take her life. I'll bury her out there with the rest of them. But if you let her live, I'll try my best to tell the world what you've done for her. I'll never forget, Brother, I went to the funerals, you know. People come by the house. I thanked them for coming. I changed clothes. I went rushing back to the hospital. And I got there and they didn't have to take her to surgery. They had a change. They realized I didn't need to do that. They just put a chest tube in her and I was sitting in the lobby. Now, I'm talking about how faith will drop to you. And I was sitting there in the lobby. And all at once a warm feeling come over me. And a voice spoke just as plain as I'm talking to you. And said, your daughter shall live. Because faith is a revelation. It's not something that you have yet. But once it drops into your heart. Amen. You say, Brother Darrell, that didn't happen. You believe what you want to. All I know is I got a Father's Day card waiting on me from her today. Amen. Because God keeps his word. Faith is a revelation of the will of God. So by revelation, now faith is a revelation from God. Amen. Faith is a revelation. That's where I want to stay there just a moment. It's a revelation. He's revealed it to you by his grace. It's nothing you did. You didn't work yourself into faith. You never have faith. It's given to you by the grace of God. It's given to you by the grace of God. Then who has that faith this morning? I just told you he gave it to you. It's given to you by the grace of God. Amen. You never had faith. It's given to you by the grace of God. And God reveals it to you. Therefore, faith is a revelation. And the whole church is built upon the revelation. But to the church, the bride, the rapture is a revelation to her. It's revealed to her. It's revealed to her. That's the revelation. The true bride of Christ will be waiting for the revelation of the rapture. Now it's a revelation, for revelation is a faith. You cannot have revelation without it being faith. Faith is a revelation. Because it's something that's revealed to you. Faith is a revelation. You reckon he wants us to understand that? He says it over and over and over. It is a revelation. Though we have a book called... what is it? Revelation of the Seven Seals. Oh, God. Well, I thought that would go over a little bit better. Faith is a revelation. The faith of the seven seals. The faith of the seven seals. The revealing of the word produces a faith. Not in the book, in you. Amen. Amen. Do you love him? It's a revelation. It's given to you by grace. God reveals it to you. Amen. Amen. It's a revelation. Because it's something that's revealed to you. Faith is a revelation. Faith is something that's revealed to you like it was to Abraham. That could call anything contrary to what's been revealed to him as though it wasn't so. So faith is revealed to you like it was to Abraham. Now Brother Branham said, you cannot be Abraham's seed without having Abraham's faith. So the same faith that Abraham possessed, we possess as the royal seed of Abraham. We possess a revelation that's given to us by the Father. Huh? Amen. The whole church is built upon it, the entire body. Now look just a moment at Cain and Abel. Twin half-brothers. Both went to the same church. Both went to the same message. Both religious, both sincere, both worshiped. Huh? But Abel, by revelation, offered a more excellent sacrifice. Where did that revelation come from? Now see, Cain brought fruit. Because the mother church, Eve, by her doctrine, told him it was an apple. He brought fruit because that's what he had been taught. His mother had told them, we're in this because of fruit. And Abel, no doubt, are you listening? Nay, Abel, no doubt, would have went and got fruit also. Perhaps he was even on the way to the orchard. When God spoke to him. God spoke to him in a message from God's mouth to Abel's ear and said it was not fruit. He's told us the same thing. Oh, God. And can you imagine, Brother Ron? Can you imagine when Abel tied that grapevine around that lamb's neck and it bleeding, and he brought it up by his mama and her standing there. And he passed by her with that lamb. And she looked at him. She knowed that he knowed. She knew that he knew what really happened. Where did revelation come from? God having provided some better thing for Abel. Abel's obedience to God's provided way. Abel found grace. Listen, when you accept anything that happens in your life as the will of God, there's released to you a grace to go through it. Ask me how I know that. When something happens, Brother Terry, that crushes your very body. I laid there that night in that hospital room. Cheryl was crying beside me. She said, I've lost my daddy. I've lost my sister. She said, if I lose my baby, she said, I'll die. And I know she meant it. Because you can die from a broken heart. Brother Ben said, Jesus died from a broken heart. And I turned my face to the wall and I just cried out to God. I said, what are you doing? You're tearing me to pieces. You're taking everything away from me. But I said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away.
Yes, he does.
God is my witness. That was a grace that was released to me.
Amen.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. By faith Enoch raptured. By faith Enoch raptured. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God. Then God provided for Enoch a message of grace. And that message of grace was the spoken word of God.
Amen.
That told Abel, that told Enoch rather, you can rapture. Remember the story of Mother Eagle. When she flew over the barnyard. Now Junior was raised by chickens. He tried his best to be a chicken. But one day she flew over the barnyard and she screamed. An eagle screamed. There came an eagle message to find an eagle. And when he heard the voice and he looked up, he began to identify himself with that. And he said, Mama, how can I get up there? In other words, how can I rapture? Here come the rapture message. Here come the rapture message. Junior, you're an eagle. Just set your wings. Just be what you are. You can fly up here. You can come up here because you're just like me. Don't you see, friends, how we can rapture because we're just like him. Enoch, by receiving what God said about him. God shared his knowledge concerning Enoch. And he told him, Enoch, just like he told Job when Job was going through his trouble. He said, Job, where was you? Where was you? God didn't come there and sit beside Job and say, oh God, Job, I am told. My God, look at you. He didn't come down and get into a pity party with him. He didn't come down and put his own, I feel so sorry for you, Job. God bless your heart, buddy. No. He never even looked at his sorrow. He never even looked at his balls. He looked beyond that and he began to talk to Job. He said, Job, where was you? Where was you, Job? Where was you when I laid the foundation of the earth? And Job thought and he talked. Then the knowledge of God was revealed to him. And he said, I was with you. When Enoch walked with God, brother, he believed everything God told him. What was God telling him? Was he telling him physics? Was he telling him algebra? What was he sharing with him? The knowledge of how to make electricity out of ocean water? What was he sharing with Enoch when he walked with Enoch and Enoch believed what God told him? What was God sharing with him? The same thing God is sharing with you. He's telling you through the open word who you are. Who you are. Amen. Enoch possessed rapturing faith that was produced by a rapturing message that came from God Almighty Himself. Amen. Enoch is a type of you. Do you realize that God raptured Enoch because he was a type of you? How fortunate for Enoch. How fortunate for Enoch that he typed you. Because what God did in Enoch's life, God was saying, that's really what I want to do with my bride. Enoch walked with God. Whatever God said do, Enoch never missed one word. He walked with God. What was he? He was a son of God. He was an eagle that had been called to the day. Didn't Brother Ben say we were eagles? Didn't he say you're God's eagles? He's Jehovah Eagle and we are his eaglets. And Enoch was an eagle that was called to his day. Then are not you an eagle that's been called to your day? Amen. God in the beginning give his word. A portion for this part of time. A portion for that part of time. A portion for that part of time. There's where men are so deceived and confused today. They try to build on something that happened 50 years ago. They try to build on something that happened 50 years ago. 50 years ago there was a vision of a tent. They've been trying to build it ever since. Go over this. That's where men are so deceived and confused today. They bet on something happened 50 years ago. But where? That's what was given for that age. That was what was given for that age. What good would have done Moses to come with Enoch's message? What good would have done Moses to come with Noah's message? What good would have done Jesus to come with Moses' message, see? What good would it do Wesley to come with Luther's message? What good would it do Pentecost to come with Wesley's message? He's coming right on down. He's coming right on down. See what I mean? Congregation says amen. It's all allotted out here in the Bible. And we've got to know the age and the hour and what's for us. That's where we're failing today. We're reading everything else but the Bible. This is the day we should be living. This is the day that we should be living. This is the day that God has placed us here. God, Brother Amos, has placed us here. The seventh age, Brother David. He could have put you in Luther's day. You could have preached Luther's message. You better tell you, you could have preached Wesley's message. He could have put us in any age, but he put us in this age, the seventh age, the rapture age. He put us here for a reason. He put us here for a purpose. I am not here to fail. I am not here to fail. I am put here to rapture. How do you know that, Brother Darrell? How can you say that? Because the Word declares it, and I'm only saying what the Word says. Huh? Stand where Enoch did. Stand where Enoch did. Why, brother? Why does he want me to stand where Enoch did? Because Enoch was a type of me. Stand where Enoch did when he took that little stroll one afternoon. He took a stroll one afternoon. Huh? With God and walked on home with him. He didn't want to come back. Hallelujah. Not one morning, one evening. It's the evening time. Harvest time. rapture time. Amen. One evening, the rapture, the resurrection, he had a testimony. He pleased God because he believed God. What did he believe, God? What did he believe? What God said about him. Listen now, just bear with me. That's what we need. That's what we need. That's what we want. That's what we need. That's what we want. That's what we have. But Donnie, we possess it. We possess it. We are possessors of that faith. Why? Because we believe the report. Who hath believed the report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? That's what we need. That's what we want. That's what we have. But we're afraid to use it. We sit sick. We sit weak. We sit down. Our family's in chaos. Our marriage is in chaos. Our finances in chaos. Because we're afraid to use what we already possess. That's what we need. That's what we want. That's what we have. But Brim said, a man gave my boy a gun. Billy Paul gave him a gun. After this meeting's over, we're going to take a vacation to the mountains to hunt. But what good did it do that man to give Billy Paul a gun if he isn't going to use it? Huh? It's sitting there, a fine gun, but it'll never do no good unless he uses it. And that's the way your faith is. Oh, it's a fine faith. You read, you believe, you've had an experience with God, you believe. But what good is faith if we don't use it? Oh yeah, Brother Dale. Amen, Brother Dale. I believe that, Brother Dale. Hey, but what good does it do us to hear it, to sing about it, if we don't use it? Oh God. In other words, he adopted him. By this man, he placed his son positionally. How did he do it? Then the son's name on the check is just as good as the father's. Because he's in position. He's in position. The father had vindicated, had placed that son in the position. I hope you're getting this. Then the son was an heir of what the father had. And we are what God has. We're joint heirs with Christ. And as I told you Wednesday night, a joint heir is someone who shares, who possesses the inheritance together. Join heirs with Christ. If we are sons of God, holding our position, positionally placed in the kingdom, holding our place. Not one day when I feel good, I'm swinging from the chandeliers. The next day when I don't feel good, I'm not even saved. We need to grow up. We need to get beyond that. We need to get to the place that I'm saved. Whether I feel like I'm saved or not, I'm healed. Whether I feel like I'm healed or not. Amen. Holding our place. When the devil comes howling. When the devil comes to rob. Hold your ground. Stand your ground. Meet him face to face. Shove him off your property. When you get saved, Jesus just takes and hands you a checkbook to last you throughout life's journey. And his name is signed to the bottom of every one of them. Whatever you have need of in my name, just ask the Father, it'll be done. Just sign the check and send it up there. Don't be afraid. He'll recognize it. God has gave us a checkbook. That's what we possess. We possess a checkbook from Daddy. And he's already signed it in his blood. He didn't use a Bic. He didn't use a paper mate. You know, I signed a piece of paper, put it up in the dashboard and the sun. And I was looking at it. And the sun drawed my signature plumb off of it. You couldn't even see it. But Jesus didn't write it with paper mate. He didn't write it with Bic. He wrote it in his own blood. And his blood shall never lose its power. Now the only thing you have to do is co-sign it. You know why? Why? Well, Brother Dowell, ain't his name good enough? No, his name's on it. But the check needs another signature. It needs your signature. You know why? Because you're a joint heir. Amen. Now I could understand if Jesus just gave us one check, I could understand how we'd be very careful and we'd come in church and we'd sit like we do a lot of times. Because after all, we don't want to get excited and write that check. My God, what when I just got excited, Brother Harry playing, and I got excited and I wrote the check. So I could see we come here and sit. Now, they don't want to stir me up now because I got this one check and I might write this thing. And it almost make us neurotic. Listen to me. It would almost make us neurotic if we just had one check. Because how would we use it, Brother David? Would you use it for your kid's salvation? Would you save it in case Susan got cancer? Would you save it for yourself? Would you use it on your wife? Would you use it on your grandchildren? Would you use it on yourself? Would you use it on your neighbor? Surely to God, you wouldn't buy a candy bar and a Coke with it. So you can see how it almost make you neurotic. But the most wonderful thing about it is the prophet said he gave us a checkbook to last us throughout life's journey. That means when I'm on my deathbed drawing my last breath, I've still got a check. It's like that bread, you know, Jesus broke it and it come back. Broke it, come back. Broke the fish, come back. That's the way this check is. You write one, tear it off, it comes back. Write one, tear it off, it comes back. I was down in Mexico. I preached the message on the checkbook, the bride's checkbook. And there's a man coming out. He had a diabetic ulcer that had ate into the bone. He was going to have his leg amputated. And he come to the altar and the saints prayed for him. I was down there about a month later. That man come running up to me. He was excited. I couldn't understand a word he was saying. And so I got Brother Benai come over to interpret for me. I said, what's he saying? He was pulling up his pants leg and he was just blah, 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 blah. I said, what's he saying? He said, he's showing you his leg. He had a diabetic ulcer, had ate into the bone. He said, well, last time he was here, he come to the altar. He said, he's showing his leg. It was, friends, it was completely healed. Glory. Not even a scar. Not even a sign. Glory. And listen, he goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, what did you do? Because we've got other people that's got diabetic ulcers. We're going to, you know, it's common among them, diabetes. He said, we got other patients. We're going to have to take their legs off. Whatever you've done, we'll use it on them. And he told him, he said, I wrote a check. I wrote a check. He said, this man coming from America said, I didn't even know I had a checkbook. And he come and told me, it's in our possession. We possess the faith, friends. We possess, it's already ours. The trouble with Christians today is they don't realize what's provided for them. Many people don't realize the great glories and powers that's provided for them. Now, y'all know, you know I like Indian stuff. I just like it. My studies, I got Indian stuff in my study. And I went to a brother's house one time to preach. And when I went in, he married a girl from out southwest. And they had in their foyer a bow with crossed arrows wrapped in deer skin, fringes hanging off of it, feathers hanging off of it. I thought, man. That looks good. That looked real good in my study. But see, that thing probably $400, $450. I thought, well, I can't afford that. I'm an evangelist. But I looked at it. I thought, man, I'd like to have that. You know, you've seen things. I might have coveted. I don't know if I might have went too far. I'm human. But anyway, I just liked it. So I leave there and I go to another meeting down to Espanola, New Mexico. Brother Manuel Salazar is a pastor down there. And I go down to his house. He said, Brother Dale, said, you was here about 2 or 3 years ago. He said, we really enjoyed your ministry. And I said, I appreciate that, brother. I really do. And he said, well, after you left, brother, I said, we was down in Santa Fe at the Indian market. They said, we saw something that reminded us of you. They said, we bought it for you and we've had it now for about 3 years. Said, we'd like to give it to you if you don't mind. I said, oh, that would be wonderful. I appreciate it. So he goes in the closet and he pulls it out. It was a bow wrapped in deer skin, flanges on it, crossed arrows, feathers on it, exactly what I saw. And there I was wishing I had that and I already owned it. And I say to you this morning, you said it, you said, I wish I had joy, I wish I had healing, I wish I had power. I'm here to tell you, you already own it. When Christ died, He gave us every redemptive blessing. Everything Christ died for is yours. Every one of you. You've got a checkbook with Jesus' name signed across there. Whatever you send this check to the Father in. Whatever you ask the Father in. I'll do it. Don't be afraid, he says. Don't be afraid. The cashiers are a little busy sometimes. But they will get to it. Well, Brother Darrell, I prayed and nothing happened. I know you talk about that checkbook and you talk about it. I've done that, Brother Darrell. I've done it. I prayed and I waited and nothing happened. Well, let me ask you something. You ever gone to the bank to cash a check? Did you ever have to wait? Huh? Did you wait? You stood there and waited. Brother Bram said, the cashiers are busy sometimes. But they will. Get to it. Oh God. You remember over in Chicago, this woman had stomach trouble. The other woman had a gourd in her throat. Remember the story? They went through Brother Ben's life. He pronounced both of them well. They go home testifying to everybody that they were healed. Still had the gourd, still had the stomach trouble. Even the people in their church said, y'all need to quit that. You're embarrassing us. You're making a scene. But they kept on doing it. And the prophet said one morning, the boy ran off to school and left some of his oatmeal. And the woman with the stomach trouble without thinking ate it. And it stayed down. She grabbed toast, ate it, stayed down. Here come the acid test. Got some coffee. Drank it. Stayed down. So like a good message person, she just... No. She got excited. Imagine that. She got excited and began running up the street. And she runs up to the street where the woman had the garter. And just as she gets to the door, she hears the woman, woo! And she goes into the house. Brother Ben said the woman was shaking the sheets, looking for the garter. He said, what was it? He said, the angel of the Lord passed through the neighborhood, pronouncing the blessing. Oh God. Of it. You remember those days? I remember when I was a little boy. Bread man come to the door, milk man come. You remember those days? Put milk on the door and put bread on the door. Huh? Well, that's the way it was. That morning, the bread man came through, left bread. Milk man came through, left milk. Angel came through, left blessing. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are possessors of these things. Do you love him? See, friends, we've entered into the astronaut age. That's the age we're in. It has advanced. We're no longer in horse and buggy. We're no longer in the airplane. Huh? We're in the astronaut age, but we all have to come in the same way. We're all birthed into this astronaut age. Just like at Noah's Ark, when they come in, there was different levels. Some went on the first level. Justification. Someone else, but they all had to come through the door. There was one door, and they all had to come through it. And there's one way. We're birthed. Amen. Into this astronaut age. Now, Brother Brennan said when John Glenn got into that spaceship, there's not one thing he had to do. The ship done it. He just sat there. All he had to do was have courage to take what the scientists said was the truth and to manifest it. If that was true for John Glenn, friends, we're not in a spaceship. We're in Jesus Christ. And all things provided for us, God's just looking for somebody that's got courage that'll step into that ship. It's what we want. It's what we need. That's what we have. We're just afraid to use it. You know, God, one time, I was telling my wife about it. I got such a blessing this morning now. It's just simple, but I just got such a blessing. One time, God took Elijah home in a chariot of fire, lifted him off the earth. Chariot of fire. Man said, we can do that. So man built a spaceship, put atomic power under it, locked him in it, sealed him in, hit the button, lifted him off the earth in a chariot of fire. So then God turned around and said, Enoch, walk to daddy. Don't you hear, friends, what he's saying in this hour? He's saying to you, well, you remember when our kids was little and they begin to walk and say, come on, honey, walk to daddy. You can do it. You can do it. And that's what daddy's doing to us this morning through the opening of the word. Daddy's saying, come on, Enoch, walk to daddy. Walk to daddy. You can do it. You can do it. These things are in you to do it. Do you love him? Brothers, come this morning. Let's close. Amen. Amen. He promised all these things in his word. For Hebrews 13:8 says he's the same yesterday and forever. And the things he was able, God could achieve by one man who would surrender himself to it, to the word of God. Because I said last night, he always stood with the word. Now, do you know what astronauts is? No really new thing. What about Elijah? He wasn't an astronaut. I've never seen one. He went where John Glenn never could think of going. Well, you know, he took off. Talking about Enoch. Well, you know, he had one that took off in slow motion. He just walked on up. But he was an astronaut.
Amen.
Whoop. But Enoch just... And he was, and he was not, because God took him.
Amen.
Johnson City, those of you that post on the website that we're a cult and all the things, better write all you want to write about us, because we was, and we was not. Amen. Get a good look at us, because one day you will see us. No more. We will leave the world alone. Do you love him? Let's bow our heads this morning. Possessors of the faith of Enoch. I know just a broke up thought. But if you could only realize this morning that God, the same way that God spoke to Abel, same way that God spoke to Enoch, lip to ear, and shared with them his knowledge. Paul told Timothy, take the prophecies that was prophesied concerning thee, and by those war a good warfare. Take the things, Timothy, that the word says about you, and war a good warfare. For the word says, listen, we don't heal the sick to show our power. We heal the sick to fulfill scriptures. It's not we're a bunch of show-offs. It's just who we are. And that little eagle knew when he saw his mama. He saw what he was. And the opening of the word is, Brother David, so broad, it's so last night. The opening of the Word has come to reveal to us who we are. Why do these things mean so much to us? People laugh at us and make fun of us and say we're a cult. Man followers and all that. And yet we push all that aside and we keep coming and we keep believing and we keep rejoicing. Why? Because there's a deep calling to the deep. And Father is speaking to you. Enoch, walk to Daddy. Walk to Daddy. You can do it, honey. You can do it. You can walk because Daddy can walk. You can do it. Like the little eagle. Mama, how can I get up there? Just jump, Junior. You're an eagle. It's in you. You can fly like I can fly. You can be where I am because you are just like me. You are a living manifestation of my attributes. You are what I am expressed on the earth. Friends, the world. Someone told me the other day, they sent me a text. Said, I can't wait to see Jesus. And I texted back and said, I saw him Wednesday night. And friends, we're the only Jesus some people will ever see. The living Word for their day. Help us, Lord. Oh God, these things could have been preached in Luther's day. It could have been preached in Paul's day, Lord. Because it would have left me, it would have left them. But you reserved it for this generation. That we would be the consummation of all six ages. Will be summed up and manifested in the seventh age. I am what Luther was, what Wesley was. Restoration of the gifts, that's me, that's who I am. And I'm now manifesting it on the earth. Oh God, help us today, Lord, realize that before any great king or queen would come to America, they always send a forerunner to prepare the way, to get the people in an atmosphere, to welcome them. So when they come, they'll feel welcome. And when the Pope came to America a few years ago and they sold Popesicles and all kinds of t-shirts and all kinds of things to create the people in an atmosphere, to get them looking for the Pope, to get them excited about the Pope coming, so that when he come, there would be a welcome spirit. Oh God, you sent your Word in this hour, the opening of the Word, Lord, to create a people, to bring them into an atmosphere that they may create a welcome spirit, that you would be welcome to come back to the earth because there's somebody here who can receive you. Oh God, help us this morning, Lord. Help us as a body of believers here, Lord, on this little hillside to be that kind of people. Grant it, Lord, I pray that these things, Lord, may be manifested in our lives. Help us, dear God, to take these things, Lord, to use these things that you've given us. May the people take courage, Lord. May they stand their ground, God. May they pull out your checkbook this morning and may they use it. Oh God, what would it be that day if we appeared back to you and we handed you a checkbook and we'd never wrote one check? Oh, the look on your face, Lord, when you say, didn't you believe me? But oh God, help us this morning. Whatever we would have need of to write our check out. Is he pulsating to you this morning, friend? What do you have need of this morning? If I was you, you know what I would do? I told a little sister, one time I was in a meeting in Romania, and this girl come, no hip. She gave her heart to the Lord and we baptized her. She come the next day wanting healing of her hip. And I told her if I was you, I would go out confessing my healing. I just start thanking God for it. I said, when he heals your hip, you let me know. Years went by. And a brother here in the church come to me and said, I got an email from a girl that's looking for you. Says she's been trying to find you. Says she has something to tell you. Said, could I give her your email? I said, sure, that'll be fine. So I get this email from this girl. She says, Brother Darrell, I've been trying to find you to tell you. I went everywhere, just like you said. Got to the place my mama tried to discourage me to quit doing it. Said, it's embarrassing the family. Said, but I was in a meeting, Brother Darrell. And I stood up to testify what God done for me. And she said, my help popped, Brother Darrell. And I walked out. Oh, Lord, I pray today, Father God. There are many needs among us, Lord. Great needs among us, dear God, that no doubt the people are not even aware of. But Lord, I pray this morning in the name of Jesus, may we as a body of believers with the faith of Enoch to believe what the Word says about us, may we write our checks this morning, dear God. May we write them out, God, for the salvation of our children, for the salvation of our husbands and our wives, our sons and our daughters, for the healing of our bodies, for the Holy Ghost. Whatever you have need of this morning, friend, just write your check out. Would you do it this morning in the name of Jesus? Have any believer report this morning and would stand to your feet and write your check out and raise your hand this morning and say, I write my check this morning as a believer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen and amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. Satan, you're defeated this morning. You're nothing but a bluff. We are the sons and daughters of God. This is our season of manifestation. And we will stand upon the earth as God's children and exercise our rights this morning. In the name of Jesus, I curse you, Satan. I resent you, Satan, this morning. May you leave God's children for the glory of God. For the glory of God. Amen and amen and amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Let's just raise our hands to Him now. Let's just raise our hands to Him now. Let's just worship Him. Let's just worship Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Enoch, do you hear Daddy? Walk to me this morning, Enoch. Walk to me. You can do it. Come on up to my house. It's Father's Day. Come on up to my house this morning. It's Father's Day. Amen. 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 Oh, God. How we love you, Lord. How we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you would reveal these great truths, oh God. Who am I, oh God, that you would do these things to me? We worship you, Lord, and we glorify your name. Oh God, how we praise you, Lord Jesus. How we praise you. Happy Father's Day. Amen. 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 Brother, that spirit and the bride. You want to, can we just worship Him just for a moment now? Amen. Hallelujah.
The spirit and the bride sing, come. The elect are feeling a stir inside their heart. As our uniting time has come, we and the Father are one.
Amen.
Soon we'll be with our Lord forevermore.
Can you believe it? Let's sing it.
Oh, the evening light has come. She's hearing the shout of her King. The token's been applied. He's clean and from inside. And the dove leads a lamb once again.
is credit to her. She's been washed in the blood of God's own Son. For the righteousness that's not her own, she is just before His throne. Where she'll reign with her Lord forevermore. Oh, the evening light has come. The bride is making preparation. She's hearing the shout. Credit to her. She's washed in the blood of God's own Son. The righteousness is not her own. She is just before His throne. Where she'll reign with her Lord forevermore. She's hearing the sound of her King. The token's been applied. He's cleaning from inside. And the dove leads a lamb once again. Oh, the evening light has come. The bride is making preparation. She's hearing the shout of her King. The token's been applied. He's cleaning from inside. And the dove leads the lamb once again. I'm so glad that we've recognized the mighty God is here today. Hasn't our hearts burned as He talked along the way? Aren't you glad you've known? Aren't you glad you've known? I'm so glad I've known Him. Soon He'll come and we'll be gone. I'm glad we've recognized the mighty God is here today. As an as He talked along the way, I'm so glad I've known Him. I'm so glad I've known. I'm so glad I've known Him. Soon He'll come and the bride will be gone. I'm so glad I've recognized that the mighty God is here today. Didn't my heart burn as He talked along the way?
I'm so glad I've known Him. Soon He'll come and we'll be gone. He's different than I walk down the road. We didn't know our Lord. Then a man grew near and he spoke words so wide. Broke the bread and blessed him. Vanished and opened up our eyes. I'm so glad I've recognized that the still lives today. Haven't our hearts burned as He talked along the way? I'm so glad I've known. I'm so glad I've known. I'm so glad I've known Him. Soon He'll come and we'll be gone. I'm so glad that we've recognized the mighty God is here today. As He talked along the way, so glad I know Him. Soon He'll come and we'll be gone. Jesus, closer, Lord, to You. Let the world around me, let it fade away. Oh, Jesus, draw me close, close. Closer, Lord, to You. Oh, I desire to worship and obey. Oh, Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord, to You. Let the world around me, let it fade away. Oh, Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to You. To worship and obey. Oh, Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to You. Let Laodicea around me, let it fade. Jesus draw me closer, closer to you. I desire to worship and obey. The more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I find you, the more I love you. I want your feet, drink from this cup in your hands. Feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can understand. I rest in peace, it's overwhelming. The more I seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you. Father, the more I love you. I want to sit at your feet, drink from this cup in your hand, lay back against you. Feel your heartbeat. Your love is so deep, it's more than I can understand. I rest in your peace, it's overwhelming. The more I seek you, the more I find. The more I find you, the more I love you.
More than I can understand. Jesus. I want to sit at your feet, Lord. I want to lean against your chest, Father. I want to feel you breathe, Lord. Breathe upon me, Lord Jesus. Breathe upon us today. It's Father's Day. We've come to your house to worship you. We've come to your house to magnify your name. You sent your word to heal us. You sent your word to deliver us. And now, Lord, we come back with thanksgiving. We've come back. Our enemy has been buried in the sea, Lord. And we stand victorious today. And we worship you, Lord Jesus. And we magnify your name, Lord God, today. There is none like you, Lord. There is none like you, Lord Jesus. How we love you, Lord. How we love you, Lord Jesus. I want to sit at your feet, Lord. I want to sit at your feet, Lord. Brother Isaac, let's just sing it again just before we turn the service to Brother Donnie. Let's just sing it to him again. Think about it this morning. It's Father's Day. Just climb up in his lap this morning. Lay your head. You know, there's only one disciple laid their head on the bosom of the Lord Jesus. It was John, and John's a type of you. That place is reserved for you this morning. Just smell it into his presence. Just let him take the hurt away and the fear away and the pain away. Daddy is here, friends. I know I've told it many times, but Jessica, that time in the parking lot out here, and the car's coming, and she was scared. Just a little thing, 6 or 7. And I said, Jessica, there's a car coming. And she come, stuck her finger in my pocket and drawed up real close to me. And it just something, I just put my arm around her. Because I was her daddy. And I know she knew that I would take care of her. She knew that I would take care of her. And today, friends, just put your finger in the pocket of Jehovah. Just draw up close to daddy. Let's just melt into his presence now. And just love him. Let's just love him just for a moment. Amen. As I said, I gotta go see my daddy in a little bit. We'll talk 30 minutes, an hour. He'll not know anything I've said. He'll not remember anything I've said. He won't even know who I am. But your daddy's not like that today. Our Heavenly Father, he knows all about us. Amen. Let's just melt into his presence. I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand. Think against you and me. Feel your heart beat.
This love is so
it's so deep.
It's more than I can understand. I rest in your peace. It's overwhelming. The more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I find you. Father, the more I love you, I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heart beat. Your love is so deep, it's more than I can understand. I rest in your peace. It's overwhelming.
Hallelujah. The more I seek you, Jesus, the more I find you. The more I find you. I love you. I want to sit at your feet. Yes, Lord God.
Against you and breathe.
Hallelujah.
Your heartbeat. Your love is so deep.
So deep, Lord.
More than I can understand.
I rest in your peace. It's overwhelming. The more I seek you, the more I find. God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God today. We sit at his table.
Father has fed us once again. May His blessings be on your life. Hallelujah. I want to sit at your feet. Yes, Lord. I want to lean back against you, Jesus.
Your heart beats.
Hallelujah.
Your love is so deep. It's more than I can understand.
I can't understand it, Lord.
I rest in your peace.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, the more I find you, Lord, the more I desire, the more I thirst, the more I lurk, the more I find you. Yes, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God.
Lord, I love you,
Lord.
I want to sit at your feet.
Against you and me.